Masechet Pesachim has been dedicated by Mr. Ike J. Shehebad in honor of his grandparents, Mr. Ike and Jeanette Beebe. We bless Mr. Ike Shehebad, who's been a sponsor of the Daf Yomi for many days. They should continue to enjoy success, health, and happiness. May his grandparents also enjoy much nachat from him as well as all their grandchildren, and may they only share in simachot for the entire family. Amen.
Today's daf is being studied le'ilun nishmat Shlomo ben Rivka. Ruach Hashem tanichenu began Eden. Amen. Today's daf is being studied le'ilun nishmat Achim Baruch Rafael ben Miriam and Avraham ben Esther. Ruach Hashem tanichem began Eden. Amen. Daf pechet amud bet. We are starting today from the Mishnah. Ha'omer le'avdo. A person tells his slave, here we're talking about an Eved Kenani, se ushkot alai et ha-pesach. Go out and slaughter for me the Korban Pesach. The point over here is that the master did not specify to the Eved Kenani, does he want him to slaughter for him a gedi? Does he want him to slaughter for him a goat? Or a tele? Tele would be a sheep. He did not specify. Shahat gedi yokal. So if the slave slaughtered a gedi, a goat, so then the master can eat it. Shahat tale. If he slaughtered a lamb, yokal, so then he's able to eat it. Shahat gedi v'tale. Let's say the eved slaughtered both of them, yokal menarishon. So then the master eats from the first one. Rashi explains, Bashini yisarif, and the second one has to be burnt because it cannot be offered as a korban. And now we go with a next case of the Mishnah. Shachach ma amar lo rabbo. Let's say the case where the Eved Kanaani forgot what his master told him. He forgot whether he told him to slaughter him a gedi or a tele. Kesed yase, what should he do? Yishchat tale ugdi v'yomar. He should slaughter both a tale and a gedi, and he should say, Im gedi amar li rabbi, if my master told me to slaughter a gedi, a goat, gedi shelo, so the gedi belongs to him for the Korban Pesach, v'tale sheli, and the lamb will belong to me. V'im tale amar li rabbi, and if the master told me to bring a lamb, then a tale shelo, the lamb will be his for his Korban Pesach, ugdi sheli, and the goat will be for me. Which means he's able to make the stipulation, and whichever one belongs to the master will be slaughtered for the master, and the other one will be considered the Eved Kenaani's Korban Pesach. Now, Rashi says that the Gemara is going to ask a question: how could the other Korban be a Korban Pesach for the Eved Kenaani? We have a rule that says Mashekana Eved Kanara Bo, that whatever a Eved Kenaani acquires, it automatically resorts back to the master because he has no acquisition on his own. So how could it say that one of them will serve as a Korban for his master and the other one will serve as a Korban for the Eved? That the Gemara will deal with. Now, obviously the Eved Kenaani cannot slaughter both for his master, because you're not allowed to be registered on to Pesachim. So therefore, he has no choice but to make this condition. Now, he cannot make a condition by saying, whichever one is the Korban Pesach will be for my master, and the other will just be not a Korban Pesach at all. Because how could he then slaughter the Korban Pesach in the Azara of the Beit HaMikdash? If he doesn't sanctify it as a Korban, it's bringing Chulin into the Azara. So he has no choice but to sanctify both of them as Korban Pesach, but he just stipulates, whichever one the master had in mind, if he wanted the Tleh is his and the Gedi is mine. If he wanted the Gedi is his and the Tleh is mine. So therefore, either way, both will be for Korban Pesach. So you have no problem of slaughtering it in the Azara. That being said, since we don't know which korban was actually for the
master and which is which one's one of the master. So of course he cannot eat from the Qurban. However, he's yotzeh his obligation of Qurban Pesach. So again, let's read that case again. Shachach ma'amar lo rabbo. Let's say the slave forgot what the master had told him. Kesa jal, say, what should he do? Yishchat taleh ugdiv, you must slaughter both. And he should say, im gedi amar li rabbi, if my master told me to slaughter a gedi, gedi shelo, the gedi belongs to him, taleh shenen, it will be for me for the Qurban Pesach. Im taleh amar li rabbi, and if he told me to slaughter a lamb, then a taleh shelo, then the lamb belongs to his ugdi, shenen, and the gedi will belong to the Eved. Comes the Mishnah continues. Shachach Rabbo Ma Amarlo. Let's say that the master also forgot what he told him. Which means not only did the servant forget which type of Qurban to bring, but the master himself also forgot what he told him. And we're talking about a case where the servant slaughtered both a Gedi and a Taleh. So now it says, Shenehem Yitzu Lebet HaSerifah. Both of them have to be burnt, because we don't know which is the master's and which is the slave's. So therefore, they may not eat from either offering, because they might transgress eating a Pesach that they were not registered for. Ufturim La'asot Pesach Sheni. But they are exempt from bringing Pesach Sheni, because for sure one of them belongs to the master and one of them belongs to the servant. So we just don't know which one it is. So long as the Shechita was done at the time of the Shechita and the Zinika, it was done for the respective owner. Just that afterwards it was forgotten. So therefore there's no need for a Pesach Sheni. The Gemara begins, Peshita. The first case of the Mishnah is obvious. A person tells his slave to go slaughter for me a Qurban Pesach. He doesn't stipulate. So certainly, since he didn't specify, it goes without saying that whatever he brings from is going to be valid. What is the Mishnah teaching us? Gemara says, Shachat Gedi Yochal Af Al Gav Deragil Betaleh. We're talking about over here that the servant slaughtered a Gedi for him, even though the master normally is accustomed to a lamb. And the Hiddush of the Mishnah is that still, since he didn't stipulate, even though he's Ragil with the animal that was slaughtered is valid. And for that matter, Shahat Taleh Yochal, if the servant slaughtered a Taleh, he can eat. Afal Gavdi Ragil Begdi, even though the master normally is Ragil with a Gedi, since he did not stipulate, the Taleh is considered valid. Comes the Gemara and ask the question on the next part of the Mishnah. Shachat gedi v'taleh yochal min arishon. So, if let's say the servant slaughtered both of them, so we say that what? He eats from the first korban. Which means whatever one was slaughtered first, that's what the master eats. V'hat tanya, the Gemara has a question. En nimnin al shnei pesachim ke'achad. That a person cannot be registered on two korban pesach at once. And therefore he's not allowed to eat from either of the korbanot. As we learned several times already, that you can only register yourself on one Qurban. And if a person, let's say, is registered for two Qurbanot, so in such a case, we say that whatever Qurban the person's mind, he had is on his mind at the time of the Shechita, that's going to take offense. Take effect, I should say. However, in this case over here, let's say if his preference was not known at the time, so therefore he's forbidden to eat. He may not eat from one offering because he did not necessarily have preference for it. And the same applies to the other offering. Now this opinion is not holding by the opinion of Bidira, where we can say retroactively, we can say what is in his mind. And therefore we go back to our Mishnah's case. The master relied on his servant. He didn't tell him anything. He relied on his servant to register them both for a Gedi and a Taleh. The master's preference, though, was unknown at the time of the slaughtering. So therefore, the Gaura, he shouldn't be able to eat from any of them. Because since he slaughtered both, so therefore it's as if he's registered on both. How then could the Mishnah say that you give him whatever one was slaughtered first? If you're not holding Birira and saying retroactively, we say that the first one that was slaughtered was in his mind, so how could you say that you give him the first one, the Gaura? Both of them would be invalid. So that's the Gemara's question. So the Gemara says, you're right. Our Mishnah specifically is talking about a
king and a queen that had asked their servants to go slaughter a Korban Pesach for them, they did not stipulate. Now, a king and a queen, Tosafot explains, have an abundance of food, and therefore they really don't care if a Gedi is slaughtered or a Teleh. And therefore they willingly accept whatever animal is slaughtered by the servant. And therefore, as soon as the first animal is slaughtered, finished, so automatically they are registered. An ordinary person, however, does have a preference for either a Gedi or a Teleh. And therefore, if the first animal slaughtered is not according to his liking, he would not have chosen it for a Korban Pesach. Therefore, he still can be registered on either animal. Whereas a king and queen, they really have no preference, so therefore, it will be the first korban that was slaughtered. And the Gemara says, V'atanya brings a proof, en nimnin al shnei pesachim ke'ahad. A person cannot be registered on two korban pesachim together. There was a story where there was a king and a queen that they told their servants, v'shachatu alehim et ha-pesach, go out and slaughter for us the korban pesach. V'yatzu v'shachatu alehim shnei pesachim. And the servants went out and they slaughtered two korban pesach. Let's say a teleh and a gedi. Bau v'shalu et ha-melech. So they came to ask the king which korban they should prepare. Amar lehem, lechu v'shalu ot ha-malka. They said, go ask the queen. Bau v'shalu ot ha-malka. So they went to ask the queen. Amar lehem. They said, how do I know? Lechu v'shalu ot Rabban Gamliel. Go ask the rabbi. Bau v'shalu ot Rabban Gamliel. So he went to ask Rabban Gamliel. Amar lehem. Malka u'melech da'atan kala alehen. A queen and a king who are not particular in whether the Pesach is a Gedi or a Teleh, Yuchlum and Arishon, just eat from the first one that was slaughtered. Anan, but us, which means ordinary people, Lo nochalum and Arishon, Velo min Hashini. We cannot eat not from the first one and not from the second one. Because again, since an ordinary person usually has a preference for either or of the animals, and therefore if the first animal is not his liking, he would have rather the second animal. Therefore, he cannot be registered for either animal. Veshuv pa'amachat. Another episode happened. Nimset al ita'av v'tamet b'chayim. There was a lizard, which is a type of creature that when it's dead, it can bring tum'ah. So al ita'av was found v'tamet b'chayim in the king's kitchen. So the servants wanted to say, since the leta'a touched the food, they wanted to declare the whole meal tameh. So they went to ask the king. They said, go ask the queen. They went to ask the queen, and she said, go ask the Rabban Gamliel. So they went and asked him. When the lizard fell in the kitchen in the dish, was the dish cold or was it hot? Amrulo, they said to him, Roteach, it was a hot dish. Amalehem, lechu vatidu alea kos shel sonen. Go pour on the lizard a cup of cold water or cold liquid. Halchu vatidu alea kos shel sonen. So they went and they poured a cup of cold liquid over the lizard. Vidi hashan started to squirm, showing that it is still alive. And therefore there was no tumah at all. Vatihe, Rabban Gamliel, kol ha-seuda kula. And the So that was thus declared tahor by Rabban Gamliel. Nimsa, it comes out, Melech talu b'malka. The king was dependent on the queen, v'nimset malka taluya b'Rabban Gamliel, and it came out that the queen was dependent on Rabban Gamliel. Nimset kol ha-seudah taluya b'Rabban Gamliel. It comes out that the entire seudah was dependent on Rabban Gamliel. Gemara continues, a quote from the Mishnah, Shachach ma'ashamal rabo. We gave a case if the slave forgot what the master told him. So therefore he slaughters both, and he makes the condition, meaning if the master told me to slaughter the Gedi, then the Gedi is his, and the Taleh is mine, meaning for the Eved Kanani's Korban Pesach. So the Gemara says, Sheli, how can it be his, the Eved's? Ma'ashakana Eved Kanana bo. Normally we have a rule that whatever the Eved acquires, the master acquires, which means the slave cannot take anything into his possession, it automatically goes back to the master. So how is this case possible? We're talking about a case where the slave goes to a shepherd who is normally frequented by the master, which means the master has dealings with him and he knows him. And therefore, deni halei betakanta derabeh, who's interested that the master is benefited. Umakne lehad minau, so the shepherd presents one of the two animals to the slave, al menat she'en lerabo reshutbo, on the condition that the master has no rights to it. And therefore, the shepherd knows that the master is not going to be able to fulfill his obligation of Korban Pesach unless one of them belongs to the Eved. As we explained earlier, that one of them will be a Korban Pesach for this master, and one will be a Korban Pesach for the Eved Kenani. Both of them have to be designated as Korban Pesach, because he has to slaughter both of them, because he forgot what his master wanted. So he has to either slaughter both a Teleh and a Gedi, but they both have to be slaughtered for a Korban, because that's the only way he can slaughter with the Azara, otherwise he's slaughtering Cholin Ba'azara. And he cannot register his master for both of them, because then he's going to be registered on two Korbanot. So one has to be for him, and one has to be for his master, with that condition. But the only way that happens is if he owns one. So therefore the Ro'eh, the shepherd we're talking about over here, knows the master, and therefore he does him a favor, and he'll give possession to the slave of one of these korbanot without the owner, without the master having any rights to it, because that is to the benefit of the master.
Comes the Gemara and continues the next case of the Mishnah. Shachach rabo ma she'amar lo. In the case where the master forgot what he had told the servant, so the Mishnah says that both animals are burnt. However, we said that the Adon and the Eved, the master and the servant, are both exempt from Pesach Sheni. Amar Abaye, so Abaye explains, Lo shanu ela sheshachach achad zirika. This is only talking about that the master forgot his original intention only after the zirika of the korbanot. The be'aidah des nigdam. But at the time that the blood was sprinkled, hava haza la'achila. Each korban was still fit for eating, because at that time during the zirikah, the master still remembered what he told the slave to slaughter, meaning a gedi or a tleh. Therefore, at that time, it was belonged to a specific owner. There was ra'ui. About shachach lefnei zirikah, but if he forgot already before the zirikah, the chi is the nikdam. At the time that he sprinkled the blood, lo haba hazel achila, so it was not fit for eating, because they did not know which one belongs to who. Hayavim lachasot Pesach Sheni. So in that case, they would have to bring a Pesach Sheni, because they cannot eat from the korbanot, because it was impossible to know which one belonged to who. And therefore the zirikah was not valid. And therefore, since it was not valid, they would have to bring a Pesach Sheni. Ika dematila abraita. Some have this saying of Abaye, of Lo Shanu, on a braita. What's the case of the braita? Hamisha shenetarebu orot pesachim ze baze. You have five owners that had, let's say, Korban Pesach. Each one had their own Korban Pesach, and the hides of the Korban Pesach got mixed up. That's the leather. They used to skin the animal. V'nimset yabelet b'achat mehem. And a wart was found on one of the hides, which was a wart that would make the animal a ba'al mum, therefore rendering it not valid for Korban Pesach. Kulam yotzim lebet ha'serefa. So now all the Korbanot, you have to burn them. You cannot put them on the mizbeach, because one of them is definitely pasul. Ufturim la'asot Pesach Sheni. But all the owners are exempt from making a Pesach Sheni. Now for sure, four out of the five owners are exempt, because their Korban is kasher, but Hadush is even the fifth one. We don't know who that is, but all five animals are burnt, but everybody is yotze. Amar Abaye, so Abaye said, Lo shanu ela shenetarebu lachar zirika. This was only talking about where the hides got mixed up after the zirika. The bi'idat is that ikdam, because of the time that they sprinkled the dam of the korban, miha, however, at least, hava chazil akhila, which means at least four of the unblemished offerings were still fit for eating. Which means the zirikah for the four were valid, because the owners were still eligible to eat at the time. And therefore, in that case, all five owners, we'll see why, are exempt from Pesach Sheni. But if the eyes became mixed up before the sprinkling of the blood, then all five are unfit to be in at that time. Hayavim lasot Pesach Sheni, so they all are obligated to bring a Pesach Sheni. Comes the Gemara and says, Man de matni amatnitin, the one that learned Abaye's statement on the Mishnah that said what? That in the case of the Mishnah where the owner forgot which Korban, what he told the servant, so then Abaye said that that's only talking about if he forgot after the zirikah, then they're exempt. So it says, Man de matni amenitin, the opinion that says that qualification on the Mishnah, kol sheken abaraita. All the more so would say it in the case of the braita of the five hides, which means the Mishnah dealt with a case where the animal itself was kasher. There was no psul in the animal, it's just that we forgot who it belongs to. So therefore, in the case where, at the time of the sprinkling of the blood, where we say that the animal was kasher, just that we didn't, and at that time we knew who the animal belonged to,
which means it was forgotten only after Zerika. So then we say, if it was before Zerika, so then it's going to be Pasul, because the blood was not sprinkled with knowledge of who the right Qurban was. So again, the Mishnah dealt with a case in which there was no disqualification of the animal itself. And therefore the blood itself, of course, was fit for Zerika. The reason why you can't eat it, because it's an external factor, meaning that we don't know who the registrants are. So therefore Abaye ruled that if this doubt came about before the Zerika, the owners must bring a second Qurban. So therefore, certainly in the case of the Braita that we talked about, there was a blemish in the Qurban. If this fact became known before the Zerika, certainly they would have to bring a Qurban Pesach Sheni. However, but the opinion that learned Abaye only on the Braita, aval amatniti in law. But maybe he'll argue that only in the Braita where there was a psul in the Qurban, if it was found out before the Zerika, you'd have to bring a Pesach Sheni. However, in the Mishnah, no kevan de chesherininu, because since bottom line, the case of the Mishnah, the Korban is kasher, the yitka ravi chazil achila. If they would remember who belongs to what, they would be able to eat it. Therefore, kamesh vayagali, I can say, listen, even at the time of the sprinkling, they didn't know who it belongs to, but in front of God, in front of heaven, God knows. And therefore, I could say that since the Korbanot are essentially valid, and the only problem is we don't know who it belongs to. Abaye would say that there's no difference even before Zerika. In such a case, they would not be obligated to bring Pesach Sheni. So basically the Gemara is saying that Abaye made a statement that it only applies after Zerika. However, if this case was before Zerika, there would be Hayav and Pesach Sheni. What was Abaye talking about? So some learn he was referring to the case of our Mishnah, where the owner forgot what he told the servant. So therefore, it's only works that they're exempt if this they forgot after the Zerika. Because at the time of the Zerika, at least they knew exactly who it belonged to. But if they forgot before the Zerika, so it was invalid. And some say that Abaye's statement was set on the Braita of the case of the five hides. And that what? That before the Zerika, if it was forgotten before the Zerika, so therefore it's invalid already at the time of the Zerika. One of the Korbanot were invalid, for sure. So therefore, all of them are invalid. That's from Pesach Sheni. But if it was found out to Psul after Zerika, so they're all exempt from Pesach Sheni. So basically what the Gemara says, that the one that learns it on the Mishnah, that it's Psul in the it's not a psul in the goof, it's a psul just in that they don't know who it belongs to, and still Abaye makes that difference, because again in the Braita, certainly in the Braita is going to make a difference if it was found out before Zerika that they're going to be Hayav to be Pesach Sheni. But the opinion that says only on the Braita, I could say on the Braita they're Machmir because of psul in the goof, but in the Mishnah, I'll tell you that even if it was found out before the Zerika, one does not have to bring a Pesach Sheni, because it's not a psul in the Qurban, it's just forgotten to them. But in front of Borei Olam, Kamesh Pekapesh Shmaya Galia, Borei Olam knows exactly who it belongs to, and therefore I could argue and say that they would not have to bring a Pesach Sheni. Gemara continues, Amar Mor. We learned in the Braita that if we have a case of five people that each one brought a Qurban Pesach, and then subsequently they found the hides, they had the hides of the animal and they got mixed up and they didn't know which one belongs to who, and then they found that one of the hides actually had a blemish, a yabelet, a wart on it. So it says that they cannot bring the korbanot on the mizbeach, they have to burn them, but ufturim la'asot pesach sheni, they're all exempt from bringing pesach sheni. So the Gemara asks the obvious question, va'ikachad de lo nafik, what do you mean one of the five definitely did not fulfill his obligation? After all, the Qurban was blemished. How can you say all five are exempt from Pesach Sheni? So the Gemara says, Mishum de lo efshar, because there is no options. There is no way for them to fulfill this situation, to get out of this dilemma. Hechi da'abid, what do you want them to do? Liti kol had v'had Pesach. If you're going to tell it everybody, meaning all five people, bring another Qurban Pesach, Kamaiti Cholin Azara. Four of them are going to bring animals that are Cholin, because four out of the five already, their Qurban Pesach was valid. So just to tell them to bring another one, so that's considered Cholin, it's not consecrated. Therefore, it's a sin to bring Cholin Azara, Darba'ami Nayu Avdelu, because four of them brought the Qurban Pesach already. So then maybe you'll say, Liti Kulehu Had Pesach, let all five join together and bring one Pesach. And therefore, for sure, it's not Cholin Azara, because one of them needs it for a Qurban Pesach. But the Gemara says it's not an option. Nimsa Pesach Nechal Shelo Limnuyav. It comes out that the people that are going to eat this second Korban Pesach are not registered on it, because four of them already fulfilled the obligation on the first Pesach, and therefore the second Pesach cannot be eaten by somebody that is not registered on it. So therefore that is not an option as well. So the Gemara says, "Hi, Mayu." The Gemara says, "What do you mean over here that there's no option? There is an option. Niti kol had minayu pischo v'nayti v'nema. Let each one bring their korban pesach, a second one, and make the following stipulation: Edd baal mum. If my original one was the one that had the blemish, had the iti ashtanei v'pesach. So the second one that I'm bringing now will be considered my korban pesach. Edd tam. And if my original korban pesach was the unblemished one, had the iti ashtanei v'shelamim. So let the one that I'm bringing now be as a korban shelamim. So the Gemara is asking, why is that not an option? Seemingly that will solve the dilemma. The Gemara says, "Lo efshar." Now, still, that's an impossibility. Mishum diika hazeh v'shok the kohanim u'da'achti de, because the law is that if it is indeed a shilamim, the kohanim eat the breast and right hind leg of the shilamim. And now, how are we going to give the hazeh v'shok to the kohanim? Because maybe it's a korban pesach. On the side that it's a korban pesach, the kohanim cannot eat the hazeh v'shok because they're not registered as part of the korban. So we're in a catch 22. You cannot stipulate shilamim, because the shilamim, part of it goes to the kohen, and that kohen is not registered on the korban pesach. So the Gemara says, fine, we can solve that as well. V'nayti kol had v'had kohen ba'adeh. Let each one of the five bring a second korban pesach, and let them join up with a kohen. And therefore, they'll bring a korban pesach. Now, on the side that it's korban pesach, so they fulfill their obligation. And on the side that it's a shelamim, so the kohen would be able to eat the hazeh v'shok. So therefore, we got around the problem. So the Gemara says, "Hi kohen, echidame. What's the case of this kohen that you're joining now into the group? David Pesach. If he already brought a korban pesach, dilma hay pesachu. Maybe the second one is going to be considered a pesach. V'nimsa pesach neechad sholim nuyav, and that is going to be eaten by those that are not registered on it, because the kohen, his registration is invalid because he was registered already on his own Pesach. So that case cannot be. So what are you going to tell me? V'idelo avid Pesach. So you'll tell me maybe the case is talking about where he didn't bring his own korban Pesach yet. Well, dilma shelamimu. Well, maybe then the korban is a shelamim. On the side that the korban Pesach, on the side that this animal is a korban shelamim, v'lo avid Pesach. So then the kohen never brought a korban Pesach. Which means by joining a kohen, you're putting the kohen at risk. If it's a korban pesach, so then already the kohen cannot eat from it, and it's invalid because he is not registered on it, nor is the original owner registered on it. Again, I repeat, if you're going to bring a kohen, with each member, and tell them to bring a korban, and make the stipulation, and say, if it's a pesach, so this is our korban pesach, and if it's a shilamim, so, and if it's not a pesach, so let it be as a shilamim. So the Gemara says, wait, what type of kohen are you bringing over here? If the kohen brought his korban pesach already, so therefore maybe this is considered a korban pesach, and therefore it's pesach nechal shelo limnuyav. Then it'll come out that this pesach is going to be eaten by people that are not registered, because the kohen cannot eat from this pesach, because he brought a korban pesach already. When himself pesach nechal shalom nuyav, the idelo avid pesach, and if he didn't bring a korban pesach, dilma shelamimu. Maybe this is a shelamim, this korban, and therefore v'lo avid pesach. Therefore, the kohen now never ended up bringing a pesach. So the Gemara says, fine, we have another option. V'naiti kol hamisha had kohen. Let all the five owners bring a second korban pesach, and let them make the stipulation of if theirs was the pasul one, then this is pesach, and if theirs was the kasher one, then this will be a shilamim. And let them bring one kohen the lo avad pesach. Let them join one kohen in each group. The same kohen will join, be part of each group, and that kohen did not bring the pesach. Now, v'nimni alavei ani hamisha pesachim, and register for all these five pesachim. The memanavshach ikachad elo avid pesach. For sure, in this case over here, one of the owners did not bring Korban Pesach. So therefore, for sure, one of these animals is a Korban Pesach. And the Kohen will fulfill his obligation, meaning will give all the Hazeh Veshok of the five animals to the Kohen. So now the Kohen eats all five Hazeh Veshok. If it's Shilamim, so he's allowed to eat Shilamim. If it's Korban Pesach, well, for sure, one of them is Korban Pesach. So he's fulfilling his obligation by Korban Pesach by eating one of the Hazeh Veshok. As well as the other five men, they covered themselves, meaning just in case their korban was the pasul one. So now they brought another korban, Pesach, that was kasher. So the Gemara is saying, really there was an option. So the Gemara says, no, there is no option. Why? Our premise that said that they can bring a korban with a stipulation to say, if it's a Pesach, fine, and if not, it'll be a shilamim, that is not an option. Why? Because normally a korban shilamim is eaten for 2 days. They eat Pesach liyum v'alayla. Because a korban Pesach can only be for eaten that night and the next morning. It's got to be burnt. But korban shilamim can be eaten for 2 days and one night. And therefore, in this case over here, since we have to suspect that maybe it's a korban Pesach, we're going to have to treat it with the stringency of korban Pesach and therefore burn it the next day. And the halakha says you're not allowed to minimize the eating of a korban. And since it might be Shilamim, and Shilamim has a longer eating time, but you have to treat it with the stringency of Pesach, therefore burn it earlier, that would be Asur. So that's why the stipulation doesn't work. So the Gemara says, V'naiti mutara Pesach, why don't you bring the Korban and bring it as a residual Pesach? V'naiti mutara Pesach v'nema, and say the following, Ididi ba'al mum, if mine was the blemished one, Hayda ayti ashtanevi Pesach, the one that I'm bringing now will be my Korban Pesach. Ididi tamu, but if mine was the unblemished one, Hayda ayti ashta shilamim, let the one that I'm bringing now, let it be treated as a shilamim of a mutara Pesach. And I'll explain to you what a mutara Pesach is in a second. The mutara Pesach nechal yom v'alayla echad, because a mutara Pesach is also eaten for 1 day and one night and is burnt the next morning, just like a Pesach itself. Now a mutara Pesach is a case where, let's say, a person had a korban and for some reason, let's say, the korban got lost and he brought another korban in its stead, and then the first korban was found. So that's called mutara Pesach. Or a person, let's say, designated money for korban Pesach and he spent it on the korban, he had leftover money. So that money, now you buy an animal, and the animal that you buy is also called mutara Pesach, and the deen of that mutara Pesach is brought as a shilamim, but it has a deen of a korban Pesach in the sense that what? That it can only be eaten for that night. Is burnt the next day. So the Gibran has an option. Why don't you make a stipulation and say that what? That if mine was the Baal Mum, so therefore this one will be a Korban Pesach. And if mine was a Korban Pesach, so let this one be considered a Mutar Shalim, let it have a status of a residual Pesach. And I'm not minimizing the eating, because a Mutar Pesach also is eaten only for one night and burnt the next day. So the Gemara says, what do you mean? V'chim afrishin tehalal mutarot? Can one designate an animal to make it a Mutar Pesach? Meaning, you can't designate an animal and claim that it's a residual Pesach. Meaning, it's a fact. You have to have the animal either that was lost and then found again, or the extra money. You can't just designate an animal to call it a Mutar Pesach. So the Gemara says, fine. So we should let them toil and find a Mutar Pesach. I mean, that should be the case. Let the five guys go find people that had a situation where they have an actual Mutar Pesach, or that they had extra money, and let them buy the animal that was spent with that money, so it'll have a deen of Mutar Pesach, which is an actual Mutar Pesach, and then they will have a deen of what? Just like a shilamim. So then we figured out how to get around the problem. So the Gemara says, Ela mishum simicha. Now the problem over here is, you're going to run into simicha, meaning the requirement to lean one's hands on the animal. The ilu pesach lo b'ay simicha. Korban pesach does not require simicha. V'idu motar b'ay simicha. But a motara pesach does need simicha. So you're not going to have an ability over here to bring it with this condition. Because on the side that it's a motara pesach, it's going to need simicha. On the side that it's a pesach, you can't bring do a simicha. So you're stuck. So the Gemara says, what do you mean? Hati na korban anashim. That's fine, this question you ask me, if the Motara Pesach was, if the original Korban Pesach was brought by a man, then you're right, the Motara Pesach is required simicha, korban nashim ma'ika lememad. But let's say we're talking about a group of ladies that brought a korban pesa and it got lost, and they brought another one in its stead. So the original one was found, that's called motar pesa, but the din of a motar pesa by ladies is that it does not require simicha. So therefore we should say, let them require themselves to find a motar pesa of ladies, and therefore there is no simicha, and therefore there is no difference between the korban pesach, not in the eating time and not on the simicha. Therefore the stipulation will work. Now the problem is because of the blood applications, the ilu pesach matanahat, which is korban pesach, only requires one blood application, meaning you pour it on one of the corners of the mizbeach, the ilu shelamim. But the korban shelamim or motara pesach shtayim shen arba, it's two sprinklings that are really four, because you sprinkle it on the two corners of the mizbeach. So the two corners are actually four directions. So therefore, the problem you have over here is the sprinkling is not going to be the same. How could you sprinkle the blood of this animal on the mizbeach? If it's a pesach, it only requires one corner. If it's a motara pesach, it requires shtayim shen arba on the two corners of the mizbeach. So the Gemara says, "By nafka mina, what's the difference?" Va'atenan kol nitanin mizbeach chitzon shenetanam b'matan achat kiper. What do you mean? The Braita clearly says, or actually it's the Mishnah that says, that b'di'avad, even if you sprinkle something that requires two corners and you only sprinkle it on one, b'di'avad, it's okay. So therefore, just sprinkle it on one corner and b'di'avad, it'll be okay. So Gemara says, okay, fine, we have another problem. Ela mishum ti'ilu pesach b'shvicha, v'ilu shlamim b'zrika. The way we pour it is different. A pesach is spilled on the mizbeach. Actually, it's poured on the mizbeach. Shificha, it's poured. V'ilu shelamim bezrika, but shelamim is sprinkled or thrown on the mizbeach. So the actual way of sprinkling is different. So therefore, there's no way to bring it with this stipulation, because what are you going to do? If it's a pesach, you have to throw it. If it's a shificha, you have to pour it. If it's a shelamim, you have to throw it. So the Gemara says, "My nafka mina, what's the difference in that case either?" Ve'atanya, we learned in the Braita, kol nitanim bezrika shenatanam b'shvicha yatza, that even something that was supposed to be thrown on the mizbeach, that you poured on the mizbeach, yatza. So therefore, just pour it on the mizbeach, and b'di'avad you'll be yotze. The Gemara says, "Wait, ema deka amrinan di'avad lechetahila nameh." When did we say these things? That if you sprinkle, if you were supposed to pour zorek and throw it on the mizbeach and you poured it, it's okay. That's only b'di'avad. But here you're telling me to do it the chetahila, which means you can't put yourself in a situation the chetahila where you're going to go pour it on the mizbeach when you were supposed to. You're going to go pour it on the mizbeach when you were supposed to throw it. That's only a din b'di'avad, but not l'chetahila. For that matter, when we said above, that if you sprinkle it on one corner, b'di'avad, it's okay. But l'chetahila, you can't sprinkle it on one corner. So therefore, we're back to the premise that what? It's e'efshar. There's no way to get around this problem over here. And therefore, in the case of the five skins that got mixed up, the din would be indeed that they do not bring a Pesach Sheni, because there is no way for them to alleviate the problem and make the different stipulations. For example, let's just review quickly. It will be unacceptable for each of them to bring his own Pesach, because if he filled his Korban Pesach already, he'd be guilty of bringing Cholin to the Hazara. Now, if they may not bring one Pesach between all of them, because whichever four fulfilled their Korban Pesach cannot be registered on it, and thus cannot eat it, because they're registered already on the first one. Furthermore, each one may not bring an animal and stipulate that if he has not fulfilled his Pesach obligation, it is a Pesach, otherwise it's a Shelamim, because the leftover meat of a Pesach should be burnt the next morning, whereas a Shelamim is fit to be eaten for a little longer time. Furthermore, each one may not find a residual Pesach and stipulate that if he has not fulfilled his Pesach obligation, it's a regular Pesach, and if not, it'll be a botara pesach. Because if it's a residual pesach of a man, then already the residual pesach needs simicha. And even if you want to tell me that it belongs to a lady, you're still going to have a problem with the matanot of the sprinkling of on the corners, and a problem with the how to sprinkle it, meaning either zorek or shofek. And therefore, since there is no way out, the only option is to say that they're all exempt from pesach sheni. Baruch Adonai Le'olam, Amen ve'Amen.